Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a 6-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Did you ever have to take those assessments in high school to find out what your aptitude was, what employment you would be most likely to enjoy and be successful in? I took that. And they didn't exactly recommend a particular job. They said something to the effect, and I showed this to my mom and dad, and they had no trouble agreeing. It said, Ray seems to want a job of any kind, where people ask him, do you actually get paid for doing this? I got it. I do this. I sit here, have some pop off to my right there, diet, and I get to talk to you. Get 5 breaks, start the show a minute late, quit 4 minutes early. It doesn't get much more comfortable than that. But at the same time, it's extremely enjoyable and stimulating. I learn an awful lot from you folks. So what is the nature of this job? I wouldn't call it a job. I mean, if you want to sound holy, you could call it an apostolate or a ministry, but I get paid for it. So, if you'd like to be part of my job, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Eric Dumont is not only call screaming today, but he is operating the board. He is a board operator. I wonder if he gets that board with any of the other shows. I'm going to ask him about that. If you have a question about something in your life, something that might mean something to you or doesn't mean something to you, or something that someone has done frightens you or perplexes you or has frustrated you for nigh on to 27 years now, give you a call. I spend a lot of time in the mornings at the office or maybe in the afternoon in the office, but here on the radio, we can just discuss, give a few ideas, few thoughts, general education. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Some time back, I made the offer that if you had some insight of life, something that you thought might be helpful to someone, please call in. Let us know, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a circumstance. It can be something where you said, you know what I learned, or you know what worked for me, or do you know what insight I've come to after these years of being on this earth? It can be emotional, it can be intellectual, it can be behavioral, it can be relational, it can be faithful. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number. Would like to very much hear from you. There are certain topics on this program that absolutely stir up a hornet's nest. I probably shouldn't use that analogy because a hornet's nest sounds like controversy. This really isn't controversy among the bulk of this audience. And that is tattoos. I brought up tattoos in the past. And one of the points that I was making about tattoos is they were a classic example of how sheep-like human beings are. Something catches on, and it just roars through the culture, through the society. And in a matter of 10 years, everybody, at certain age groups anyway, if you're not doing this, if you're not having, for example, a tattoo, then you're a rebel. Well, I've been noticing something similar, and I think it's a lot less, obviously, permanent than a tattoo. It's something that eventually is going to leave us. However, it parallels the whole tattoo mindset because it's a classic example of two things. One, once again, doing what so many other people are doing, especially younger people. Younger people, I'm going to make a controversial statement here, that younger people are more likely to follow social, cultural, moral trends than older folks. You probably know, you've seen people who wear torn clothes, torn jeans especially, sometimes so torn that they're barely hanging together. Why would this be? If you look at, say, for example, pictures of young people from 1920s, 1930s, hardworking young people, you'll notice that there's a lot of dishevelment, a lot of dirt in their clothes. Their clothes are poor, they're shabby. So often, that's true. The masses, the folks that are the workers, or what would be called even the middle class in those days, their clothes, they had Sunday go to meeting clothes, but for the most part, their daily clothes were rough. Look at the pictures. And it was a mark of comfort or some kind of wealth if you had nice clothes, consistently nice clothes. That was one of the defining differences between the materialistic upper class and the non-materialistic, as in not have it, lower classes. Well, now, people who wear torn clothes are not poor. Matter of fact, you could probably make the case that they're somewhat trendy. Why is this? In pretty much all of human history, shabbiness of clothes, tears in clothes, were a sign that you couldn't reach for anything else. You didn't have the money. You didn't have the resources. You just had to make do with what you had, and you patched them. And how you washed them, well, we didn't have the kind of technology to wash them as clean as we do today, so that's what you had. Well, isn't it interesting now that a sign of coolness is torn clothes? One could ask a question, how did that get started? Somebody somewhere had to decide, okay, I'm going to wear torn clothes, and people are going to go, wow, is that cool or what? Your clothes are all torn up. Wow, I got to get me a pair of those. I remember one time I said to one of my young friends, I said, "What? Why don't you just buy a pair of jeans and then rip them yourself?" And she said, no, they have to be torn a certain way. Oh, I didn't realize tears had to be kind of calculated, the right kind of tears. I always often wondered, how can anybody tell if they're professionally torn or amateurishly torn? I don't know. But the deeper issue, by far, is you can almost make anybody culturally follow any path. Wearing torn clothes makes very little sense at all. And it also indicates how wealthy we are. We're so materially well off as a culture across the board now that we don't have to dress nice. We can dress ratty looking. It's a fascinating phenomenon. It indicates a broad-based psychological mindset among humans. This is cool. Wow. I'm going to wear torn stuff. I'd have to say the bulk of torn stuff is people 35 and under, maybe. You know, I don't see too many 55-year-olds wearing torn stuff. Maybe that was a remnant, no pun intended, of the younger days for them when you dressed to look kind of nice. A lady at church 25 years ago saw my daughter with her torn clothes when she was about 2 or 3 because she cut and tore clothes, and the lady came over and handed us money and said, get the kids some clothes. I don't want to say, hey, we're just ahead of a trend that's coming. That's all. Wearing torn clothes. Think about the tattoo parallel and the torn clothes parallel. How quickly people follow the flock. No wonder so many ideas that make no sense in our culture, morally or otherwise, are embraced by so many.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John wants us to hear the call to build a friendship with God. As we get closer to Advent, it will soon be that time once again to reflect and prepare our hearts. Have we taken the time yet to respond to the desire God has for us to have a friendship and relationship with Him? Join us this week as Father John helps us to surrender to God's love and to say to the Lord, all I have is yours. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. If you are listening, and this does happen sometimes, somebody will call, and the instant after they're screened, they drop. Now, I'm wanting to not believe it's my voice, or that they have the wrong show. Oh, I was trying to get some other show, and not The Doctor Is In. Okay, I gotta go. So that does happen, and it's always perplexing, especially if it happens that quickly. Typically, most calls come in on cell phones, so they are a little less predictable than landlines. Okay, but I don't want to get to you, so please don't leave me. Jim has a comment quickly. He has learned, he says, what looking for wealth really means. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Dr. Ray, how you doing?
Nothing gaining on me.
That's awesome. Well, that's a good status to have. So I just hear on your show, and I don't often get to listen, but when I do on my way to work, I think it's great time for me to hear what you're talking about. But you were talking about all kinds of things relating to wealth, and my overall thought is as Americans, we chase money and the idea of chasing wealth, and really we're trading our time and our health often, and really our values and our soul to gain those dollars, which really have no meaning. Really not even now with what's going on and what our future holds for eternity. So that was just my overall thought based on what you were talking about and a thought I've had over time that I've developed.
Well, I got a question for you, Jim.
Yeah.
Why do you suppose that if someone comes to the realization that they spent too much time and energy chasing the wrong things, that it takes so long to come to that realization?
Well, you know, the thing that I've learned over time is that it's really hard to, you know, with your kids, it's hard to impress upon them, you know, how you've made mistakes and please don't make that mistake or anyone else. As humans, we all think, oh, we can escape those traps and we can do it our, you know, that way that everybody else has tried and failed by listening and learning, you know. And, you know, it's sad. I've come to the same traps myself. I'm 53, 30 years military. And, you know, you think you might get through those same hurdles without a problem that everybody else stumbles on, but we all have the same, you know, same problems that everybody else does.
Well, Jim, that's a pretty good answer. And I got to tell you that had you been able to listen more frequently than just catch as catch can, you probably would have been able to give it an even better answer, you know?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, I know. But I'll tell you what, it was pretty good given the erratic listening schedule you've been on.
Yeah, well, you know, I retired from the military in 2020 during the pandemic and took about, I guess 3 years off before I started working again. And, you know, my perspective has changed, the ability to stay home for a while and think about things deeply and, you know, find out really where I wanted to be and what I want for my family. And, you know, we have our first grandchild this year and really focusing and trying to help develop my family as we move forward.
It's good thinking, Jim. You've come to that conclusion sooner than probably most people do. Most of us have to look back and say, oh, all the time I spent chasing the wrong things that were so important to me then, and now they're not only gone, but nobody even remembers them, and whatever accolades I thought I had, there's two people left that would remember them. Jim, thanks for the comment, buddy. I appreciate it so very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr.
For
Ray.
Your service. Okie doke, let's see what I got for time here. Peter from Long Island, New York. Did we buy Long Island? No, we bought Manhattan. Bought Manhattan. Hi, Peter. Oh, no. What happened to Pete? He must have. Pete, call back. Okay. Rosemarie. She was big on the Dick Van Dyke Show. Hi, Rosemarie.
Hello, Dr. Ray. How are you today?
That is the name of my granddaughter. She is Rose Marie.
How wonderful.
Rose is making a big comeback among young girls' names. It really is.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I have a grandniece with that name.
So you're taking care of a brother who's brain damaged?
I am trying.
How long has he been with you?
About 20 years.
Ooh, that's more than trying, my dear. That's doing.
Well, first I want to make a comment before we get into that about your monologue
before. My mother used to patch our clothes. And, you know, we had Sunday clothes, our uniform to go to school in, and we had play clothes. And that's what we had. And, you know, she would patch these patches with great diligence, all by hand. And I was so happy when she did that because they didn't look so raggy anymore. I would not go out of my house with those rags on today, yes. Nor pay the money for them.
So it's an interesting mindset, isn't it, that says, I'm so well off, I can afford to look like this.
Mind-boggling.
Yes, yes,
but
it is.
Back to my brother. The issue is the way he dresses. And, I mean, he's capable of many things, and there's things he's not. But I can't convince him to wear more than one pair of pants and one shirt for the week. This is a man that...
How long, hey, Rosemarie, how long have you been trying to convince him?
A few years.
All right. Okay. And,
yeah, he started this. And I have no clue why he started this. I mean, he's never been real cleanly. He used to take sewer meters apart at the workshop he worked at.
I can speculate.
And then, what?
If I give you a speculation, will you then say, okay, I will no longer attempt to convince him to change?
I suppose, yes.
Okay. Now, obviously, this may not be correct. However, it's not uncommon when you have someone who has diagnosable brain damage. You said he had a brain injury as a child, right?
Yes.
Probably pretty significant, I would think.
He was in a coma for a few days after.
Okay. And you noticed either dramatic personality changes or development changes in him because of this?
Well, I was 5 and he was 4 when it happened. But
okay.
He definitely has problems, you know.
Okay. And if you're saying he works at a workshop, which is generally IQs below 60 or 50, would that be about right?
I don't think so. I mean, he writes beautiful poetry, but that, you know, and he's always, until he had a stroke last year, he's always had an affinity for words, but a lot of other things he does not understand, etc.
Okay.
He got hit, well, long story, but the car door hit him in the head when he fell out of the car. And it hit him on the right-hand side of, like, upper, above his ear.
Ouch. Okay, my speculation. When there is discernible brain damage from an injury or some type of developmental issue, there's a higher chance that someone is going to develop either an obsession or a compulsion, because those seem to have their roots in neurological changes. So because of that, it doesn't surprise me that your brother has more recently decided one shirt, one pair of pants, 1 week, good enough. It would seem that could be a compulsion based upon his brain. Stay there, Rosemarie. Don't leave me. I want to talk more with you and ask you a couple more questions. 877-573-7825. Peter is back. Good. 877-57-EQUAL. It is a delight and a privilege to get to be with you folks. Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. Talking to Rosemarie from St. Louis, Covenant Radio. She has been taking care of her disabled brother through a brain injury as a child for about 20 years. And most recently, he's developed, probably Rosemarie says within the last year or two, this ongoing resistant habit of essentially wearing one pair of pants, one shirt for a week. Rosemarie, at the end of the week, does he then switch to another outfit?
I tell him, I'm not going to wash your clothes until you put these clothes in there.
And then he will.
Yeah.
What if you did that on the third day? Would he say, no, I'm not ready yet?
No, he'll shrug his shoulders. I've tried that.
Okay. So it's 1 week, it seems to be the smell test, so to speak.
That I've done too.
No, obviously he doesn't care about that.
Well, I tell him I'm not giving you a ride if you don't change your clothes. So that works.
Okay. So what you are doing is essentially setting up a condition. If you want A, I need you to do B, which he wouldn't do on his own. You said he doesn't understand a lot of things, which leads me to believe he functions somewhat like a child?
Like a teenager, you know?
Okay. All right.
Really oppositional, you know, kind of teenage.
So in essence, then you have to discipline. You're not able always to reason with him. You have to set conditions to say, if this, then this.
Right.
Okay. And it sounds like you do it pretty well.
Yeah, I guess.
Sure. I would say a couple things.
You know, if I did, I would be nagging. I would be setting so many conditions, you know. I let a lot of stuff go because
pick the ones. Yeah, pick the ones that you think are high on the priority list, and the other stuff, if you can live with it, you got to quit driving yourself crazy, because apparently you have heroically taken care of your brother for 20 years. I would imagine you are going to continue to take care of your brother, so you're going to have to find ways to not re-frustrate yourself over the same stuff.
Okay.
Short of that.
I'm calling also to find
a book?
You can recommend one of your books for me.
One of mine? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I thought you were going to ask as a generic book. Probably there's two books that would most be relevant to you. One is called Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. And the other is Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. Both of those are on my website, and both of them are signed.
All righty. They're in my wish list.
Rose, you can't have them in your wish list. You've got to have them next to your bedside.
Well, I have to this month. I've got dental bill. And I've got my insurance premium. So
I'm going to let it slide this time. Don't let it happen again, Rosemarie. And I have a special affinity for you because you're named like my granddaughter. And I'll tell
you,
for your heroic efforts with your brother, that is kind to the 10th power. God bless you, dear. Okay. Let's see where we're going next. Greg wants to make a comment here. I know, Peter, I'll get to you too, but Greg wants to make a comment. And Greg, let me preface this before you come on. One of the things that I said was there is a small percentage of people who get a tattoo commemorating the life or the death or the birth of someone very, very dear to them, but they are by no means in any way among the majority when so many of them just get these wild sleeves or even demonic type views. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, sir.
Okay, first of all, I want to say I listen to your radio station. I really love your program. I mean, you're spot on like 99% of the time.
I want to know that 1%.
Well, that's when I'm not listening.
All right. Because if you get that 1%, call in immediately and say, okay, Ray, here's where you blew it.
So anyway, yeah, I did get I wasn't going to get a tattoo, and you're spot on as far as, you know, these kids running around with tattoos. I mean, they're covered with tattoos. It's ridiculous. And then you ask them, well, what's this mean? Well, I don't know, you know. Like I asked my one cousin, well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. It's in Chinese. Well, you don't know. Maybe that means kick me in the butt. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, you could just imagine the tattoo artist giggling as to what he put on the guy's back.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, I wasn't going to get a tattoo, but one of my best friends died in Iraq, and I was there, and he was in a different part of Iraq, but he died when he came back. So I decided I'm gonna get one in his memory. So I did get one, but that's it. It's just, you know, that one. And I did it for memory of him, you know. And I didn't hear the beginning of your program, so I wouldn't have called.
No. I wasn't really even about tattoos. It was about torn clothes. But I drew the parallel between torn clothes and tattoos being sheep-like. In that, you know, you look at any 25-year-old, and there's probably a 90% chance they not only have one obvious tattoo, which may or may not mean anything, they just like the design, or they have full sleeves, or they've got six or seven of them plastered in various parts of their body. And the reason, and you have a reason. You said, look, my friend passed away, and he was a service buddy. And I'm sure it's not his name emblazoned across your chest all the way around your back. It's probably a very tasty tattoo, maybe put on your bicep or somewhere thereabouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bicep. It's it's actually a scorpion that's made into a piece of heavy equipment. Then I have his initials underneath there. So I know what it means, but nobody else does.
and it's interesting because 30 years ago, you probably wouldn't even have done that. But because tattoos have become such a part of our culture now, that someone with a purpose like you for the tattoo can say, "Yeah, you know, I can do this. This is some way I can permanently remember my friend." Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, Greg, I appreciate it, buddy, and I want to know. I want to know immediately as soon as I hit that 1% where I'm wrong, which is kind of high. I just got to tell you, kind of high. Take care, buddy. Thanks for the call.
You're listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Raising your IQ with every segment. Trying to work it so we raise it with every sentence, but I haven't gotten it there yet because some of the sentences are just not as good as some of the others. Peter from Long Island. I know we lost Peter, must have dropped from his phone, but he's back. Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call and sorry about before.
My pleasure. What's up?
So I have a question. What do you do when you thought you'd forgiven somebody for something maybe, a while ago, and it's sort of creeping back into my mind, into my heart. I'm not sure if I should bring it up with the person or not.
Do they even know they did anything wrong?
I don't know. I have never brought it up with them specifically, but, you know, maybe on their own they came to realize. I can't quite know that without, I guess, without speaking to them, true.
To somebody close in your life or just an acquaintance?
Oh, yeah, it's my wife.
That's pretty close. So apparently, this was how long ago, Peter?
This is early on our marriage, first year or two, so we've been married for 13 years.
How was it that this popped back up?
Well, you know, my wife and I do not see things the same. I hate to use the word political world, but, you know, in world issues, there's a lot of rub there, a lot of abrasion, and I don't want to make myself seem like I'm something that I'm not, but, you know, no matter what her stances are on things, I still love her, you know? It's not like a deal breaker for me. I feel like we're both trying to grow closer to God, and I trust in God that through that turning out to be a slow but and sometimes painful process, we're both seeking the truth. We are growing closer, sometimes at molasses pace. But I do notice improvement in that area. But, of course, with the state of the world today, these issues come up a lot. So sometimes when I feel like I am, you know, like I have to be quiet or it's not worth bringing certain things up, there's a lot of heavy-duty topics that don't get talked about between each other. And this has to do with that. This would have been an issue like that back then that I found to be very hurtful.
So because of that, the first year of marriage, she reacted in a way that was not only disagreement, but she did something about it that hurt you. You were uninvited from a trip, apparently, when you were married. You can't go. Okay. Now, back then, did you just let it go? Did you say, okay, I'm not gonna chase this. I'm gonna let it go. And in fact, we'll proceed with our marriage, and I won't carry the ill will. Is that what happened?
No, I if I had to go back, I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure me back then would have said something like, "This is ridiculous." You know, I can't believe, you know, the degree to which you're responding to something that I find to be trivial.
Well, it takes me back to my original question. Did she even think she was wrong in doing that?
No, I don't think she... back then she didn't think she was wrong. Now, over 10 years, like I said, I have seen some growth in both of us, of course. So I don't know if she would say the same or do the same now. But I'm looking to find out.
What would prompt you to bring up something from 13 years ago? That she might apologize?
Oh, well, yeah. Why would I do that? I don't know. Yeah. We struggle with communication. We're actually going to go speak to somebody in September about that. And, you know, there seems to be like a repetitive pattern. Things are going well for a long time. Then all of a sudden, these things rear their ugly heads up. And we're trying to get to the bottom of it. And I know I can be a keep the peace, quote unquote, type of person. Or, you know, is it worth it to bring this up? What are the fruits of this conversation going
to
be?
You want me to guess?
And Peter, I struggle with that.
It'll blow up in your face.
Okay.
First of all, it's long gone. There's been a lot of marriage since. There's been some movement toward each other in understanding where you differ. But if you say to yourself, "That was such a hurtful thing in my mind that somehow I've got to get closure to it so that she acknowledges what she did, and now after all these years, she will give me some sign that she regrets it." You don't need that. She may not even remember she did it. That's the other problem. And okay. So at this point, I would suggest a couple of things. One, lay it to rest. Long gone. You focus on what you guys are getting along with now. But here's the other thing. Instead of, you say we have a hard time discussing these different political perspectives, social perspectives. instead of trying to convince her to look at your perspective, immerse yourself in trying to understand how she got her perspective. In other words, she may say, I think Trump's a demon, which is a very common political perspective now. Okay, how did you come to that? Well, I don't like his personality. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like his personality. I think he's abrasive. I think he's arrogant. I think he's self-centered. Okay, so you don't like his personality. What didn't you like about some of the things he did governing-wise? Instead of saying, well, you know, you're not electing a pastor. You're not electing a lily white guy. So don't worry about it. I mean, he's done a lot of good. No, don't do that, because then it'll just be I say, you say. Find out. Get her to explain. I've talked to a lot of non-Catholic friends, and I've asked them to explain how they've gotten to their conclusions about the Catholic Church. And as they try to explain them, some of them realize, I haven't really thought these through very well at all. I'm just uttering cliches. So that's the thing I would suggest with her. Just, I want to know how you think, why you think it, how you came to that conclusion, what you're basing it on, what have you heard, what have you watched, where are you watching it, that kind of thing. Peter, thank you for the call, my friend.
Thank you very much, Doctor. God bless you.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you. You too. This is Dr. Ray.
Every woman deserves specialized health care. At Arbor Women Health, our team of compassionate professionals listen to our patients and want to understand what they're going through. They serve everyone from teen girls to seniors. Our faith-based clinicians specialize in obstetrics, gynecology, fertility awareness and crisis, or unexpected pregnancies. Call 734-930-4020 or visit arborwomenhealth.org. Arbor Woman, faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare.
I just feel like a woman should have control over her own body, said the pro-choice relative. Control? The only way in which a woman could have control over her body would be by, first, sterilizing her own body, and secondly, and most tragically, by putting herself in a perfect bubble of isolation, away from all relationships, away from all family. And ultimately, this is exactly what contraception and abortion seek, to protect the woman from the danger of otherness. The woman's body, however, is not made for control. It is made for gift. The cycles which wait for seed, the breasts which give nutrition, the womb which harbors new life. God himself abandoned all control at the dawn of creation to allow the existence of that which is completely outside of himself. He created. He did not merely emanate. From this we know that love does not seek control. It seeks, indeed, the very opposite of control. It seeks gift. GuadalupeWorkers.org.
Did you know my mom's gonna have a baby? We heard the heartbeat and my dad said this is gonna be someone very special.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We hope you'll consider supporting the work of Pro-Life Across America. Your gift will help offer life-saving alternatives to those in need. Visit our website at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org or like us on Facebook.
You're listening to The Least Worst Of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I do have one of these jobs where people ask, do you actually get paid for doing that? Yep. Lee from Ontario, Canada. She did not get the COVID vaccine, and I've had relatives who at the time did not get the COVID vaccine and were uninvited to various family events and essentially said, don't walk into my house if you don't have that vaccine, because they were told that the vaccine would completely immunize them from getting or giving the COVID virus, which we've long since found out has not been the case. But the one thing about that, which is not surprising to me, but it saddens me, is how many people have not apologized for that. Lee, Ontario, how are you?
So, you know, about this, my sister and taking this out on me and not talking to me and my brother and my family and taking it to this extreme, they're still influenced really by the media because they're not putting it out there. They're still listening to, they think that they're right. But what I'm finding with these people is that they are deeply wounded. And so they're just taking their anger out in the world. So if it's not the vaccine, it could be the Catholic faith. It could be something else. Something went wrong in their family life, I find. Because I really love my sister, and I just feel the way that she was brought up, there were a lot of hurt feelings. So I think some of these people are just dealing with emotions that they haven't really dealt with.
It sounds like you're saying that your sister, in a lot of respects, is not a contented individual. Maybe bordering on a very unhappy individual. And because of that, the COVID aspect was one part of her approach to relations.
Right. I would say that. And people who, like, don't want to talk to you because you don't go to this wedding and so deeply offended, I think that they're offended already at something.
Well, many psychologists would say that, Lee. They would say that if someone is difficult or demanding or intolerant, that there are aspects to their personality, maybe with some roots back when, that caused them or were involved in them being the way they are.
Because usually if you find, like, it's usually just, like, one person in the family that's acting like that. I mean, oh, yeah, when COVID came out, lots of people were acting like that. But to carry it on and go to that extreme where, you know, I'm not going to talk to family members, something else is going on.
Is it still that way? I mean, she's still not talking?
No, because I went to the wedding shower, not knowing that the wedding was going to be at a golf course. And she was there, and we made up. Although we're still very distant, she's still very upset and still is believing all this stuff. But the love is there, you know? Like, if something really happened to me that was terrible, she would be there.
You said something interesting. But you said that she's done this to other family members.
My brother, my sister-in-law, and their kids. But not the other kid who took the vaccine.
So your brother and sister-in-law didn't take the vaccine, and so that was a occasion of rift for her there, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she interpreted that. She interpreted that as, you don't care about me. You don't care about people living or dying. You're just selfish.
Exactly. She has come out and said that to me because we spoke about it when we got together for lunch. And she was just going on about how she was hurt when she was younger, how my brother, you know, hit her when they were just going down the hallway, the sibling stuff, you know, but we were poorly groomed. So, you know, if you had to blame anybody, it's the parents, right? So, but there's a lot of hurt there. So I find that these people, when they're acting like that, something else is just going on with them.
Well, that's a nice way to soften your reaction toward them. If you view it as, here's a person struggling with a lot of things, so therefore, when some of that struggle is aimed at me, I'm not going to be quite so upset about it. That's what it sounds like you've concluded.
Well, it is, because I'm always thinking about our eternal life and where I would want her to be. And that she's my sister, and I'm probably responsible in some way for that. So if I'm actually really putting God first in my life, then I'm not going to react so hurtful or irrational myself, really. Because then you're kind of irrational, too.
Somebody said to me once,
go ahead.
I heard a priest once, and he said that when you don't let go of someone's offense, as you've seen it, what you're doing is you are essentially tying yourself to their sin.
That makes a lot of sense, and maybe that comes from, I don't know, fear of God, wisdom a little bit. So,
well, you put your finger on something like, here, Lee. You put your finger on something. You basically said, as a Christian, if I'm going to be a disciple of Christ, I really don't have the leeway. Sorry about that, using your name there. The leeway to get as upset as most people would get for something like that happening to them.
True.
That's what you said.
Very true, yeah. Yeah, and plus, I love her. So maybe because I love her so much, I can take a step back and really see what is good for her, you know?
And I got a feeling if you knew it, Lee, she'd probably, if she ever was brutally transparent and honest with you, you'd probably hear from her some of the regrets she has in the way she conducted herself. Lee, thank you. Very nice insights. Appreciate it so much. Thanks, Eric Dumont, for all you do on that. And thank you also very much for your companionship here on the radio. Walk with God. He'll keep you walking closer to Him if you trust Him.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.